Good evening, brothers and sisters.
Good evening, Sifu.
How are you all today? Okay. So, trying out the Zoom function to go online for the Diamond Sutra and at the same time stream live on Facebook. So, let's see how this works out. All right, so let's continue from last week. So we are here. Let's see whether the text shrink this size. Okay. Please, if you can, turn on your webcam so that it serves the function of having the Zoom class. Me and Esther, welcome online. Can you turn on your webcam? Although I think the anime version is quite cute also. Okay, so let's get started. We stopped here last week. 须菩提，于云何佛可以摄具足，摄身见故？ So let me see. I'm gonna have to mute all of you for now. So if you all need to ask questions, so you can just click on the raise your hand, and then I will probably have to adjust the volume, then you all can ask questions. So 不也世尊，如来不应以具足色身见，何以故？如来说具足色身，即非具足色身，是名具足色身。 Yeah, so this is continuing from the earlier section. The earlier section, we cover on the sections about the Buddha's with the five kinds of eyes, and then up to the his wisdom. So here we talk about the Buddha's body. Buddha's body. This is our. In a way, this is. This is what we are very fond of. Our habitual identification. And when we think of a person, what do we think of? We think of that person's physical appearance, right? How many of you, when you think of a person, you just think of the name? For most people, okay? For most people, the first thing that comes to mind is the person's appearance. Yeah. And then with that appearance, maybe the way we feel towards that person, the way the person act, the way the person think, the way the person behave, and so on and so forth. Yeah. Basically, our experience of that person. Well, so let's take a look at the text. 这是第三段, so this is the third section, the third paragraph. 说佛成佛的时候,色身具足. So stating that when the Buddha attained enlightenment, the Buddha is complete, yeah, in terms of the of his body and the features of the body. So 又分二段, then it's further split into two paragraphs. 这一段是具足色身. So this para, or this section here, is on the part 具足色身. So this is the para. So 具足色身. Let me see now. It's quite thick. Let me just do a quick check, because now I have to monitor multiple areas. Some students last week asked me about the link, and then So this way I decided just post the link. Yeah. Then I don't have to go around replying. So, 下一段是具足诸相. So the next section is on 诸相. So all the various features. So this section is 具足色身. Yeah. Physical body. So, 从原则上说，这两段道理是一样的，但是又有一个一点差别. So, in principle, these two paragraphs, should be the same. Yeah, the logic or the principle should be the same. Yeah, but there's one, difference. 这一段是说成佛以后现出来具足无量功德庄严的身相，是指佛的圆满报身. So this section, according to my teacher, he says that after the Buddha attained enlightenment, 这一段是说成佛以后, so after attaining Buddhahood, 现出来具足无量功德庄严的身相. So then he then that's the appearance of the body, that is complete with the immeasurable merits and adornments. So, and so what is this? This is referring to what? 是指佛的圆满报身. So it's referring to the Buddha's what do you call this? 报身, the so you know that's the three bodies, right? Yeah, the three bodies. So this one is referring to the body which is the result of his cultivation, and it's complete. 圆满报身. So 下面具足诸相, below it talk about the various features, the one that we are familiar with, 就是佛32相80种好的化身. So the one that we are familiar with is, the Buddha has various features on his body. That's the hair, that's the slight mound on his head, and then the hair, only one hair grows out of each of the hair paw, and then it turns in the clockwise direction, and then it the different features like the earlobe is long and so on and so forth. So altogether there are 32 different features. So this is according to the text, and then at the later stage, there are those who draw, there are those who sculpt, and then to present how the Buddha actually looked like. And then there are 80 minor features. So 佛可以具足色身见部, can a Buddha be seen in terms of the complete body? Can he be seen in that way? So this is not referring to the physical body that we see. This is talking about the resultant body from his cultivation. So 佛是指佛的法身. So here my teacher explained, this is referring to the Dharma body, what we usually call Dharmakaya. Dharmakaya. So what is Dharmakaya? What is the Dharma body of the Buddha? This is not none other than ultimate reality. 法身就是诸法如. Dharma body is what? 诸法如. So the ultimate reality, the reality of all things. So there's a bit of background here. How did this come about? But that is a long history. But in brief, in the Buddha's time, There's scantily little reference to this. But over time, then this became more and more pronounced in terms of the Dharma body, which is basically the body of truth that he realized and he attained to. So if you understand it that way, then it's not so mysterious. It's not so mysterious. But when we say that in the Buddha's time, this wasn't present, it's also not entirely true. Yeah. In what sense? In the Buddha's time, even in the Buddha's time, there were disciples who were very fond of him, who is attached to seeing him physically. Yeah. So it is said that when the Buddha was present, people would come, and be drawn towards him. Yeah, he, in terms of appearance, he's very pleasant looking. Yeah, if we use, let's say, the common parlance, we would say he's quite handsome. He's rather handsome. Yeah, very pleasant, very handsome. Yeah, certain stature, charisma. So in terms of the way he carry himself, the way he speak, he's very charismatic as well. Yeah, so people are drawn towards him. So he could have become a great celebrity, yeah, easily, yeah. But the Buddha does not crave for that. For one, the Buddha arising in this world, the purpose of the Buddha arising in this world wasn't to have a fan club, yeah. Wasn't to become a celebrity, to be a well-known person, wasn't to have lots of students clamoring after him. Yeah. Yeah. His purpose was to help individuals who are able to be liberated, to be liberated. And so when he saw that there are students who are getting, head over heels over how he looks and just his physical presence, and then he in a few suttas, then he make this statement where he said, "He who see the Tathagata see the Dharma. He who see the Dharma see the Tathagata." Yeah, Tathagata referring to the Buddha. Yeah, as you know. And so he in several suttas he start to make a connection between seeing him and seeing the Dharma. No? So you can see that this lay the early foundation that were to develop into what is become a full-blown Dharma body, as though it's a real physical and an additional body of the Buddha. Yeah. But if we look at the context of the various suttas, then we can see that the Buddha was skillfully directing people away from being attached to this physical looks, the physical body itself, towards what is more meaningful, more fruitful, yeah, which is the Dharma, which is the very purpose of his arising, yeah, through which then individuals can become liberated, yeah, and in a way, the whole point of seeing a Buddha, yeah, first of all, the whole point of the Buddha arising is for the welfare and benefit of sentient beings, to rediscover the truth that is the ultimate reality, and then to establish the Four Noble Truths, Eightfold Path, and in the case of a Sammasambuddha, to establish the Sangha, so thereby setting forth the will of Dharma. Yeah. So and doing that is for the purpose of helping sentient beings become liberated. So, in other words, when sentient beings meet the Buddha, it should be for that purpose. Yeah. So then, and if meeting the Buddha, the purpose is not as an end by itself, but meeting the Buddha is so that you can hear the Dharma. Right? Remember the four steps. The first one is 清净善知识，听闻正法，如理作意，法随法行。 The foundations for wisdom to arise. The first is to associate with the good spiritual friend. Yeah. In this case, the Buddha. Then, and the purpose for that is to learn the Dharma. Yeah. 听闻正法 is to hear the right Dharma. Yeah. And after hearing the right Dharma, the purpose is to reflect on it. Yeah. And to direct our mind according to it. Yeah. So, 如理作意, and ultimately to cultivate accordingly. Yeah. 法随法行. So, in which case then, the Buddha in so many places highlighted this. So then, in that sense, it makes sense. Yeah. Then it makes complete sense why seeing the Buddha would be as good as seeing the Dharma. And if you truly see the Dharma, then it's as good as seeing the Buddha. Yeah. And not otherwise. Yeah. Can you all understand this? Yeah. Make sense? So in this way, then when we look at the text, so 法身就是诸法如, then it makes sense. Then it makes sense why the Dharma body is actually the ultimate reality. Yeah, basically the body of truth that the Buddha realized for himself, attained to it, and then expound in his 45 years of teachings. 诸法如是佛的法身. So, 可以从圆满报身来看佛的这个法身吗? So, can you see the Buddha's Dharma body through the resultant body, the 报身? How do we translate 报身? Basically, the can we say karmic? Because some people disagree, because they will say, oh, Buddha is beyond karma. So we can say some places they may translate as the retributive body. Yeah. So okay, let me see whether there's any comments from the nothing from the Facebook. So 不也世尊, 如来不应以具足色身见, yeah, 不可以的, no, you can't. Yeah. As far as the Dharma body is concerned, in a way, if you think about it, right, everything that you see embodies the Dharma body of the Buddha. Everything, including the table and chair, it embodies the Dharma body of the Buddha. Now, this will make sense, this will be logically true, only if you understand that the Dharma body of the Buddha is not some special body belonging to the Buddha, but it's basically referring to the ultimate reality, the body of truth that the Buddha realized and attained himself. Now, then it makes sense, because the tables and chairs, whether we are enlightened or not, it is subject to change, subject to impermanence, right? And is no self and empty in nature. So that is ultimate reality. But it's just that we don't see it. We only see the superficial part. We only see what our concept tell us, this table. We only see the table. Yeah. Now we don't see that it's impermanent, it's subject to change, and so on. Yeah. So, 何以故? How so? 如来说具足色身. So my teacher now explain the next sentence. Yeah. 佛说为法身，这个菩萨所见的圆满道身. Yeah, should be 佛说法为 这个为佛说为法身菩萨所见的这个圆满报身，既非具足色身。 So, 因为佛的法身是离一切相的。 So the Buddha's, as I mentioned earlier, when we talk about the Dhamma body, it doesn't have any physical form. Yeah. So there's a bit of a catch here. The truth itself, the ultimate reality itself, doesn't comprise any physicality. Yeah, it doesn't comprise any physicality. But you can find the truth in all physicality as well, and also in all kinds of mental form. Yeah. So Tufaru yes li yiqie xiang. Yeah. So ultimate reality is also beyond forms, beyond features, yeah, beyond physicality. 所以说不是具足一切相的圆满报身, yeah. And that's why it says that it is not the same as the retributive body that is complete. Yeah, it's not the same thing. Or at least, so this is what my teacher explained, that it's not the same thing. So, 是名具足色身, 佛在因地时修行无量无边的善法. So here, the concluding statement saying that it is named complete in terms of the physical body. Yeah. So my teacher explained that the Buddha at the stage, at the causal stage of the path, meaning that when the Buddha was a Bodhisattva, what did the Buddha do when he was a Bodhisattva? He do a lot of practices. Yeah, he do a lot of practices, accumulate a lot of merits. Right? Correct? Correct or not? So at that point in time, he practiced and accumulated immeasurable, boundless, wholesome Dharma. Yeah. So, 成佛时所成就圆满报身的果报. Yeah. So, this is the result of that practice. Well, just now I mentioned, I was torn between using the word retributive or karmic results. Yeah. Because if we use the word karma loosely, then we can say, okay, because of those actions, then you get this result. 报身. So, but some would disagree because the principle that, oh, the Buddha is beyond karma already. So we can say that this is the resultant or retributive body. No? And what about it? So that the body that the Buddha received because of all the kappas or cultivation, this is what? This is 因缘所生. So this is arising due to conditions. Yeah, it's also arising due to conditions. So 所以名具足色身. So it is named, and that is why it's named complete physical body. So 若在佛的本身来说. So here my teacher is introducing or sharing the concept that is quite prevalent in the Mahayana tradition, that in terms of the three body, the Buddha's core body is not the physical body that we see. Yeah, it's not the enjoyment body that means the bliss, the nibbanic bliss. It's also not that. It is the Dhammakaya. So as I mentioned earlier, this is in a way a gradual development. This is a gradual development. But here my teacher is citing it as the primary body. 若在佛的本身来看, yeah, so as far as the Buddha's primary body is concerned, this is referring to the Dhamma body. Yeah, 佛观察具足色身都是即灭相. So the Buddha observed that the complete physical body, it also is of the feature of cessation. Yeah. So 那就是指法身了. Then it refers to the Dhamma body. Oh. So the next part. 须菩提，于云何如来可以具足诸相见部？Yeah. So next section talking about the features. Yeah. 32相80种好。So 不也，世尊，如来不应以具足诸相见。何以故？如来说，诸相具足，即非具足，是名具足。So if you all recall, yeah, previously I mentioned that throughout this whole sutra, there's this formula. X is not X is name X. Oh. So this is quite a standard formula. So let's take a look at my teacher's explanation. 须菩提，依云何？如来可以具足诸相见部？So the Buddha asked Venerable Subhuti. So it's quite interesting. Here is the Buddha asking Venerable Subhuti. So of course, in this case, the Buddha is asking, not because he doesn't know. He himself, he's the one who attained Buddhahood. Why should he not know, and why should he be asking Venerable Subhuti, right? But from this, it also tells us something else, that Venerable Subhuti is at a level that can understand the extent of emptiness and the extent of the Buddha's teaching. So for 那离一切相的法身, so the Buddha's body, the three body, which one is this referring to? This part. So 离一切相的法身. So as far as the Dharma body is concerned, 可以用32相来见吗？So can it be seen through the 32 marks, of the great man? Can it be seen in that way? So asking this question. So I must highlight that I'm explaining according to how my teacher explained it. But I have some thoughts about some of this section. Later I will share my thoughts. You all take my personal thoughts with a pinch of salt, okay? I will explain later. So, 看见32相, 那就是佛的法身吗? So my teacher paraphrase it into this way, 看见这个32相，OK，wait 啊，let me admit somebody else. Somebody else who is the person disappeared. Person came in then left. Or did I accidentally when kick out the person? So my teacher paraphrased in. Hang on. How come my pen is going crazy? Give me a second. My pen suddenly go a bit crazy. What happened? Well, wait up. My pen suddenly become mouse mode. See, now my mouse can draw. Why ah? Pen. Oh, okay. Ah, sorry. I switched accidentally to the erase mode. Okay, so my teacher paraphrase here. 看见32相就是佛的法身吗？So the earlier statement he paraphrased in this way. Does it mean that if you can see the 32 marks of the feature, then you are actually seeing the Buddha's Dharma body? So of course not. So 不也，世尊。如来不应以具足诸相见。何以故？如来说诸相具足， 既非具足，是名相具足。So, Venerable Subhuti replied, "Oh no, this is totally by the Buddha. The Buddha explained." Oh no, sorry. Let me reread the Puye Sutra. Okay, this part is the reply part is from Venerable Subhuti. So, 这两段文的意思. So, my teacher give your clear explanation of these two sections. 佛成佛的时候. So over here, in case you are lost, can you all see the arrow? Yeah, this section. 佛成佛的时候, 为法身菩萨实现具足无量功德庄严的圆满道身. So in order to teach the Bodhisattva who is at the stage of the Dhamma body, the Dhamma body stage, the Buddha present or manifest the retributive body that is complete with immeasurable merits and adornments. Yeah. So how about for unenlightened beings like us? 为凡夫众生, so here is 法身菩萨. So this is A. For the Bodhisattva who is at the Dhamma body stage, then the Buddha present the retributive body for us. Yeah. How about the enlightened beings? 或者的出国、二国、三国阿罗汉, yeah. 或是没得圣道的菩萨, 实现八相成道的应化身. So this is A1. So this is B and B1. So for unenlightened beings, for the first fruit, second fruit, third fruit, fourth fruit, and also for those bodhisattvas who have not attained enlightenment, yeah, then the Buddha present, manifest the eight features of attaining enlightenment through what? Through the transformative body, yeah, 应化身, the transformative body, yeah. So that transformative body is also what? 圆满庄严, is also complete and adorned with all kinds of features. So 虽然具足这些身相, yeah, so although it is complete with all these bodily features, 佛的心无所得,不执着,还是执灭相. So although the manifested body is complete with all the features, but the Buddha's mind, what happened? 而佛的心无所得, as far as the Buddha's mind is concerned, all phenomena is ungraspable, is intangible. Yeah, it is not that the Buddha make himself, oh, let me not be attached to this, let me not be attached to that, but he see clearly that there's nothing to be attached to. Yeah, that even if you try, you cannot grasp onto it. that is ungraspable, is intangible. So as a result, so the Buddha 不执着, so the Buddha is not attached to it. But it's not that he had to force himself to be not attached. For us, we have to force ourselves to be not attached, but still we are attached. still we are attached. So for the Buddha, what happened? 还是即灭相. So as far as the Buddha is concerned, he see the feature of cessation. He see how all features is subject to change and is empty in nature, and so conditionally arising and has the feature of cessation. 凡夫如果相好庄严, 就身高慢心, 瞧不起别人, 圣人不是这样的. So unenlightened beings, well, the moment if we look a bit, our features, if we look very handsome or very beautiful, yeah, very full of pleasantness, then what happened? In our mind, we have ego, we have pride, we have conceit, yeah. Then in our mind, what happened? Well, we look down on people. Yeah, so 就生高慢心, yeah, 瞧不起别人, and we look down on others. You're not as pretty as me. Huh? Who are you to talk to me? I'm a celebrity. Yeah. 世人不是这样的, enlightened beings are not like that. 居菩提, 汝悟为如来作是念, 我当有所说法, 莫作是念, 何以故? 若人言, 如来有所说法, 即为谤佛, 不能解我所说故。 须菩提, 说法者无法可说, 是名说法。 So this is the next section already. So just now I mentioned to you that I have another thought. I have some thoughts about the earlier section about the body, right? So have y'all prepared the sword? You must take what I explained with a grain of salt. Maybe not just a grain, not just a pinch. Maybe you have to take a cup of salt. Yeah. Have to. So my teacher explained this to be that the Buddha talking about the 具足色身, that means the physical body, is referring to the 法身. Yeah. So then between the 法身, which is the Dhamma body, and the physical body that you can see. Can you see the Dhamma body with the physical body? Cannot. Yeah. So this is my teacher's, the gist of my teacher's explanation. So I have another thought, okay? I have another thought, which is the standard formula. Yeah, X is not X, it's named X. Yeah. So if we look at this statement here, Rulai Kai Chi Chu Chu Xiang Jian Bu. And then we look at the earlier statement here. Fu Kai Chi Chu Sa San Jian Bu. Yeah. So the way I see it, right? Another angle to look at this is it is what I mentioned earlier. Yeah, based on the historical Buddha, in the Pali Canon, we can see that the Buddha didn't want people to be attached to the physical body. Yeah. And because the very teaching that he advocates, the very truth that he realized, is that this physical body is impermanent, subject to change, subject to suffering, and it's not fit to be considered self, right? That is quite a common teaching that we have gone through many times, right? So in which case, then then it makes sense why the Buddha is asking this question. 佛可以具足色身见不? Then without invoking the Dhamma body, we basically say, understand the Buddha to be asking, can you see the Buddha in terms of this body? Because such a question did exist in the Buddha's time, in the Pali Canon, you know? And the Buddha was basically saying that, no, you cannot. Yeah, why? Because the Buddha don't even identify with this as him. So how can you look at this physical body as him? Do you understand? I see some of you. What? Let me explain again. So I was going to say, like, for example, Sifu, but then that's like comparing me with Buddha. No, let's not do that. Let's say Choi Kwan. Okay, can you all see Choi Kwan? Okay, wait, so that the Facebook friends, they can see what we are seeing. Pause share. Okay. So now the Facebook viewers should be able to see, but may have to take a few minutes or a few seconds before it switch over. Then might we continue with the... So now all of you look at Choi Kwan. Yeah. Just now, remember the question or statement I made earlier? When we think of a person, we tend to think of the person's body. Right? Yeah. So now when you close your eyes and you think of Choi Kwan, you roughly, you know, see Choi Kwan's face. Yeah. And how many of you see her body before? With clothes, lah, of course. Huh? Then, but most of the time, if you don't see him, see her in person, you also don't know how tall, how short she is. So our mind is very creative. We come out with some kind of bodily form. Yeah. And then we impute the identity to this physical form and say, this is Choi Kwan. But if this particular body, yeah, is Choi Kwan, then how about the one when she's much younger, when she's 20-year-old? Is it the same body? Not the same body, right? Right? Even if it's not when she was 20-year-old, how about the body that was this morning? Is it the same body as now? It's not the same body already, right? She had breakfast, she had lunch, I presume, and maybe even dinner, right? If after taking three meals, it's still the same body, then what's the point of eating? So logically speaking, the body is not the same. But so if we were to identify with the body as Choi Kwan, then we will be faced with this paradox, which is the real Choi Kwan. Yeah. And furthermore, if indeed somehow the body is Choi Kwan, then what happened when before the body was present, then where is Choi Kwan? How did Choi Kwan just pop into existence because of the pregnancy process? Yeah. So there's a lot of things. And so in the Buddhist teaching, the Buddha form of questioning basically challenges the notion that physical body is who we are. Yeah. That to identify with the body as I, as you, doesn't gel. Yeah, doesn't gel. No? So as a result, wait, hang on. Can you all see the whole screen now? Everybody in the... Oh, but I think on Facebook, they don't see. I think I should... Should I stop share for a while so that they can at least know what I'm talking about? Otherwise, they thought Sifu is talking to himself and then talking about Choi Kwan. Who is this Choi Kwan? You see, those who know Choi Kwan, when they watch this video, they will immediately think of Choi Kwan. But those who don't know Choi Kwan, they just hear the name. It's just a name. They don't know who is Choi Kwan also. And that's why the body is not Choi Kwan. The body is not the body. It's just named body. Choi Kwan is not Choi Kwan. It's just named Choi Kwan. Yeah. So this body is dependently arisingly what we call Choi Kwan. Yeah. So artificially given a name, Choi Kwan. Can make sense? So this is another angle to understand this section here. Yeah. So, 佛可以具足色身见部, can the Buddha be seen in terms of the physical body? Yeah. 不也世尊, cannot. Yeah. Cannot. Okay, let me share the screen again so that you all... Yeah, so 不也世尊, no. Yeah, cannot. Yeah, 不也世尊, 如来不应以具足色身见, yeah, cannot be seen in terms of the physical body. Yeah. So why? So 如来说具足色身, yeah, as far as the physical body, the complete physical body is concerned, yeah, 既非具足色身. Yeah, so here My common understanding is a standard formal explanation throughout the whole teachings. That as far as the body is concerned, whichever it is empty in nature. Yeah. And if it's empty in nature, how can it be considered to be the Buddha? And if it's not the Buddha, then how can you see the Buddha by that body? But then you say that this is the complete body of the Buddha. Yeah, it's just 四名具足色身. It is just named thus. That's all it is. It is just given a name. Yeah, for conventional sake. Yeah, if let's say we don't say that, like if now let's say we are in Buddha's time, okay. No, let's say we are now in Buddha's time, and then if we don't say that, oh, this is the Buddha, then later how do you identify? How do you go and talk to him? How do you go and find him? You go and look for the disciple. Can I know where the Buddha is? Don't know. So you understand? Yeah. So although the enlightened ones truly see that the body, not just for the Buddha, but the body is actually not fit to be considered self. Yeah, that the body is dependent arising, is empty in nature, but yet they conform to conventional references. Yeah, conventional figure of speech to say you, I, he, they. Yeah, to conventionally say this is Choi Kwan, this is me, this is Esther, this is Helen. Yeah, to conventionally say this is Sing Ling, this is Pola, this is Lok John. Conventionally, the enlightened ones still speak as we do. But when they speak in this way, they are not attached to this physical body is Choi Kwan. So the next part, Ru Lai Kei Chi Zu Zhu Xiang Jian Bu. So similarly, so this is talking about the 32 marks of the great man, right? There's another section that gives a full explanation. So this part is just in brief. So there's another section that talk about how, the later section, I think, that talk about how if the Buddha can be identified in terms of the 32 marks of great men, then the wheel-turning monarch can be known as the Buddha. Yeah? If you are familiar with the Dhamma Sutra, you'll be familiar with this. No? Okay? Can. So we continue. Yeah. Shri Puti, Ru Wei, I read this part already. So, 第四段, so this is the fourth para, Fa Ying Bian Man. So here is talking about the Dharma itself that the Buddha has spoken. So, 说法者无法可说是名说法. So, 是说佛说法的音声, 遍满十方法世界, 十方世界. So, 佛在法身菩萨无漏的圣人世界, 法音遍满. So, as far as the Buddha's teaching is concerned, when the Buddha speak, according to my teacher's explanation, his voice permeates all 10 directions, basically all the world system. Yeah. So, 佛在法身菩萨无漏的圣人世界, 法音遍满. So, when the Buddha teach the Bodhisattvas, that is at the Dhamma body stage. Yeah. And at that stage, it is what we call the 无漏的圣人世界. So this 无漏, without outflow. Can you recall last Sunday, Venerable Chuan Xian, he mentioned about this 无漏, 有漏. Can you remember? Then he mentioned about a pill, then 漏出来. Yeah. So there are different angles to explain. The way he explained was that your merits, yeah, the you have a container or a pail, and then it can contain the merits you cultivate. Yeah. If there's holes, then it flow out. Oh, so that's from the merits point of view, cultivation point of view. From another point of view, it is that because of the holes, then it can flow out defilements. Yeah. So that which is considered with outflow, yeah, that means with flowing out, yeah, it can lead to defilements, lead to suffering. So without means is sealed. Doesn't lead to suffering, doesn't lead to defilements. Okay? So there's these two angles. Yeah. So the bodhisattvas at the Dharma body stage, yeah, which is the enlightened beings state, the state of the enlightened beings that is without defilements already. In other words, so when the Buddha teach this group of individuals, Fa Ying Tian Man, yeah, the Dharma voice permeates throughout. Zai Fan Fu De Si Jie Jiu Bu Yi Ding, yeah, but in the unenlightened beings in our world, yeah, 就不一定, then it's not certain. 要有因缘才能到人间视现成佛, there must be conditions, then what happened? Then the Buddha can arise in this world, yeah, and then present the process of attaining Buddhahood. 佛在佛世界法应遍满一切处, the Buddha in the Buddha world, the Dharma voice, the Dharma Dharma voice, 遍满一切处, permeates all places. Yeah. 但是三界的凡夫众生都不得听闻, but as far as the unenlightened beings in the three spheres of existence, we cannot hear it. Yeah, we cannot hear it. So again, over here I have another way of looking at it. So remember just now I mentioned Dharma body, what is it? It's referring to the body of truth that the Buddha has attained, right? And realized and attained, right? So it is basically the principle of the universe. Yeah, how the world, how the whole universe is, the ultimate reality. Yeah. Is there a place where you can find the ultimate reality missing? Can or not? Can you find a place, a spot where emptiness doesn't hold? If it's the ultimate reality, like, if it's the truth, then it should permeate throughout, right? Can agree? Don't have to agree immediately, think about it first. So assuming if that is true. You can ask a question also, yeah, because you are on Zoom, so you have the privilege of asking questions. So of course Facebook students can also ask, but it's harder for me to look in the comments. So here it says when the Buddha teach, it permeates all directions. Yeah, the teaching of truth permeates all directions. So when does this happen? When the Buddha is teaching those bodhisattvas at the Dharma body stage. What does it mean by bodhisattva at the Dharma body stage? It means that the bodhisattva has reached the stage of awakening where they can see ultimate reality already. So then it makes sense why it says that when the Buddha teaches this group of bodhisattvas, the Dharma voice, the voice of Dharma permeates all places. Why? Because if you have reached this stage, even if you are in the toilet, you see ultimate reality throughout. Yeah. Even when you are sleeping or when you are in bed, you see ultimate reality. Yeah. Even when you are swimming, you see ultimate reality. You see that the water is impermanent. Yeah, even when you are having lunch, you're queuing up, you're in a traffic jam, you see ultimate reality. So there's no place. If you are at that stage, everywhere is Dhamma. And that's why in the Pure Land tradition, there's also the saying, 心净国土净, yeah? That when your mind is purified, then the Pure Land presents itself. This may seem quite far away, right? Yeah. But you think about it, the reverse is easier to understand. What is the reverse? For us to imagine or to experience the Bodhisattva at the Dhamma stage, Dhamma body stage, a bit hard. Easier for us to experience the opposite. That means at the unenlightened stage, filled with defilements. Yeah. On some days, when you're very pek-tek and things don't go well and you are clouded with defilements, everything is suffering. It's like suffering is permeating the whole world. And everybody is your enemy. Everybody has problem, right? So now imagine that extent, right? Except in the opposite direction, where you connect with the Dhamma in a sense, not connect in the sense that, oh, this one is from this sutta, that one from that sutta, no. But in terms of the fundamental principle, anicca, dukkha, anatta, sunyata, at this fundamental level. Yeah. If you always connect with this ultimate reality, the teaching, then everywhere you observe, you see that actually it's always there. It's just that we are forgetful. Yeah. And we are caught up with our attachment, our habitual tendencies. So hard to connect at that level. Let me give you one more example. You know, Sifu have this habit. I like to give an example. I like to give very nonsensical, worldly examples. So, you know, some people like to buy 4D, right? Yeah. Just now, I just saw on Facebook. Oh, may say no, no. Okay. 不要不打自招哦. Okay, good. I believe you. Okay, don't buy. But just now, I saw on Facebook, there's this student who posted that someone, don't know, I think, have to go for operation or something. And then buy 4D and won. So there was two 4D ticket and then stacks of $50 note. Yeah. So this person supposedly won. Yeah. So you know those who are crazy about 4D, anytime they see numbers, they will see it as 4D. Yeah, correct? But those of us who don't buy 4D, number is just numbers. Doesn't mean anything to us. Can you understand? But the truth is, if there are numbers, you can indeed combine it into four digits, isn't it? Whether you buy or not, that's another thing. But those who are very into buying 4D, as in the lottery, yeah, then the moment they see any number, they see one number, they also can buy. Yeah. They see one number, 7. Oh, 547. They see two numbers, 73 or 75. Oh, 7575. Yeah. Or they're very good in maths. They permutate. 7575. 7557. 5757. 5775. Oh, then they have all the permutation. Yeah. So now, this is just an example, an analogy. Now, the enlightened Bodhisattvas, they are not crazy about buying 4D, but they see ultimate reality in everything. And so everywhere they see, that's why, 法应骗一切处, then it makes sense. So that's another angle to make sense of it, okay? So Sri Puti, the 如物为如来作是念，我当有所说法。So the Buddha tell Venerable Subhuti,佛告须菩提，你不要以为佛要为众生说法的时候，心里先要分别，我要为众生说法。So don't think in this way that when the Buddha is going to speak to the sentient beings, that the Buddha must first have this thought. I am going to speak to the sentient beings. I'm going to speak Dharma to the sentient beings. 莫作是念。Don't think in this way. 佛这又重复说一句啊，不要作是念。Don't think in this way. So 何以故？为什么不要这样想？How so? 何以故？Why? 佛为众生说法之先，心不动念，不想一想，准备吗？So my teacher asked this question. When before the Buddha give teachings to sentient beings, doesn't the Buddha's mind, activate? Doesn't he think about it a bit? Or prepare? So 若人言如来有所说法，即为谤佛。不能解我所说法故。So the Buddha further explained. So 假设有人说佛为众生说法。